You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The interactive media is one of the world's largest and fastest growing media sectors, and yet New Zealand seems like it has been slow to embrace it. Growing at 9% annually, the interactive media and gaming sector global market will be worth $258 billion by 2021. I spoke to NZTech's chief executive, Graham Muller, about a recent report outlining how Kiwis could get in on the action. I started by asking him what the report found and why it was important.
Yeah, it was great to have the report done. It's looking at interactive media in New Zealand, and what it found was that, firstly, we use a lot of interactive media, but what was most important about the report was actually the economic opportunity and the social opportunity if we get this right. Currently, we have a very large, fast-growing gaming sector, for example, yet it's only very, very small in the world market and has a lot of opportunity.
Could you go into detail about what some of the economic benefits or opportunities are, and also some of the social ones too?
So interactive media is really interesting because it captures not just game development and gaming, but it also captures things like esports. It captures social tools to help people train, gamification and training and education, tools around mental health, which can help people through particularly difficult journeys and helping them ask questions of themselves, etc. So it's a combination of content and code, which makes it really special.
Could you walk me through what the report found?
The interactive Aotearoa report was really about trying to identify what is interactive media for New Zealand, why is it important, how it's used around the world, how we're developing it in New Zealand, what the opportunities are. And what we found was that, surprisingly, we found a huge number of people are already engaged in New Zealand. We found that the New Zealand market was small but growing well. We found that the global market was like a $258 billion opportunity, and that we've just haven't really paid attention. And so if we put a bit more effort into organising ourselves and supporting these companies and helping them into this world market, there's an enormous upside for the country.
What's New Zealand's current policy on supporting game developers or interactive media developers?
It's a really interesting insight that the report came up with, was that the government, whilst is well-meaning in a lot of areas, has some policy settings which actually explicitly exclude gaming. So what you find is that on one side, where it's sort of the content and the creative side, if you go to the Film Commission or NZ On Air and places like that, they exclude gaming. If you go to the more the technical side, more the IT side, places like Callaghan and Innovation, that's about technology stretch. And what has happened is gaming sort of falls through the middle. So what we have is this market with like literally hundreds and hundreds of small companies which are struggling to get over that next development hurdle where they, with a bit of investment and a bit of guidance and a bit of support, could start to really scale their businesses.
So why is it so difficult for developers to get that help? Because it just seems like the sector itself is an untapped goldmine.
Yeah, the sector is an untapped goldmine. What we have is a lot of small businesses. So these small businesses are sort of creating really nice creative products. The huge opportunity here is that it's disintermediated the platforms and the publishers of creative content. Yeah, it's really difficult for small businesses to get the head start. The advantage is that for small game developers, the market's disintermediated, so it's much easier for them to get their product straight to the consumer without having to go through publishers and the like when it had to go out on CDs and things. So that's been an advantage. It allows lots of organisations to create nice products and get them to market. To scale these products, you really need to be able to invest in them, to scale them up, to get the marketing and drive just like you would any other creative product. And that's where it's difficult for a very small business in New Zealand to get the sort of support you need when you're trying to scale a global product.
You just mentioned that there are some barriers there, but are there any other barriers that are kind of stopping this kind of development from going forward?
The interactive media space, particularly the gaming space, is actually in quite a good position. There's always going to be sort of a bit of a talent shortage, but the lovely thing about interactive media is that you need a combination of coders and creatives. So it actually creates lots of jobs and provides opportunities for individuals to come in from different angles, and they blend the creative and the content and the code together to create the products. So there is some skills issues, but the main issue is really the capital access and the support for these companies to know how to scale their businesses.
Now, you just mentioned that there is maybe a small kind of barrier in terms of skill. Now, why do you think that is? Do you think that's something that, isn't really sort of taught at a young age in terms of, you know, like New Zealand's policy on, I don't know, coding in high school or in primary? Do you think that that could be a barrier, or is it just kind of like a stigma around the sector? What do you think?
I think there's a huge opportunity here rather than a barrier. Like, the education system has introduced digital technology into the curricula last year, and it'll be compulsory in all schools by 2020. Aside from that, to work in this interactive media space, you need to be creatives as well as coders. So I think the real opportunity, or the challenge, has been people just don't see this as a direction to go. I was at Otara College a couple of months back, and was talking to some young kids who were in this program, and they'd after school program, and they'd been slicing up a game and reanimating it, and they had no idea that they could do that for a living, and that the starting salary is upwards of $80,000 a year.
Oh,
so when you start to think about the opportunity there, the chances to bring people into this sector, I think there's plenty of talent that would like to get engaged. But if they can't work for companies that are growing and thriving and exporting, those companies can't employ the people. So I think the challenge goes back to, how do we help the businesses be successful? Because I think the pipeline of talent is definitely willing to come.
What kind of recommendations would you put forward to kind of help that transition from media developers right now struggling, to help them go forward? So what kind of recommendations would you put forward?
Well, the authors of the study, which was we supported, and it was primarily put together by a guy called Stephen Knightley from the Game Developers Association, and he really identified that there is some low-hanging fruit for the government, that there is a lot of investment in R&D and investment in creatives, but some policy wording really excludes game firms from getting involved. So one of the recommendations they have is to do something similar to what the film and music industries have, is to have an independent sort of government commission. So a interactive media commission, which would actually look to the economic development of the market. It would look to how the policies are supporting it. It would look to engage in some of the recommendations from this report, helping with investment and the like. So that would be a really good start. And then I think the other thing is just really, like we're doing now, is just raising the awareness. In Finland, over the last 20 years, they've spent only $70 million in support, and they took a sector which was only smaller than New Zealand's now, and in that period of time turned it into $2 billion worth of exports. So currently, the New Zealand sector has grown from $36 million to $143 million in 5 years. If it keeps going at the same rate, it could be a billion-dollar market for New Zealand.
And just before I let you go, Graham, do you have any final thoughts on the subject?
Yeah, so this is a fantastic piece of work, and what it really does is help us understand the opportunity here. So it's looked at what actually is happening in the sector. It's looking at where we can improve from a government and an industry side of things. But it's also looked at not just how it can help the economy, but how it can help socially. Some really great examples of games that have been used to help people with mental health challenges. It's been looking at helping kids learn, at helping people do their training on site, how to transition from lower skilled to higher skilled jobs using gaming. So it's actually much, much broader than just, you know, your Xbox and your video games. It's actually using the tools and techniques really broadly, which I think is the biggest insight from this report.
Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.